بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد The eighth chapter, the story of the Al-Ladud. And this word, Al-Ladud, Shaykh Al-Inyani, he says, may Allah preserve him, it refers to the instrument that's used to pour medicine from the side of the mouth to the one who is sick as a form of treatment. And this is mentioned in the Kitab Al-Nihaya. Imam Bukhari, he mentioned in his Sahih, Hadith number 5712, حدثنا علي بن عبد الملك حدثنا يحيى بن سعيد حدثنا سفيان قال حدثني موسى بن أبي عائشة عن عبيد الله بن عبد الله عن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما وعائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن أبا بكر قبل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو ميت قال وقالت عائشة رددناه في مرضه فجعل يشير إلينا أن لا تلدوني فقلنا كراهية المريض للدواء فلما أفاق قال ألم أنهاكم عن تلدوني قلنا كراهية للمريض للدواء فقال لا يبقى في البيت أحد إلا لد وأنا أنظر إلا العباس فإنه لم يشهدكم والحديث And the hadith has also been reported likewise in Sahih al-Muslim, hadith number 2213. Ibn Abbas and Aisha عنها, both narrate that Abu Bakr عنه, kissed the forehead of the Messenger وسلم, when he passed away. Aisha added, we put medicine in one side of the mouth of the Messenger وسلم, and he then started waving to us not to insert medicine into his mouth. We said he dislikes the medicine as a patient usually does. But when he came to his senses, he said, did I not forbid you to put medicine by force in the side of my mouth? We said we thought it was just because a patient usually dislikes medicine. He said, none of those who are in the house but will be forced to take medicine in the side of his mouth while I am watching him, except Al-Abbas. For he had not witnessed your deed. Hafidh ibn Hajar, he mentions in Fathul Bari, volume number 8, hadith number, page number 185, that which is apparent is that the Prophet ﷺ intended by this statement as that everyone has to take the medicine from the side of their mouth as a form of discipline, so they do not return to that action of theirs. And this is by way of ta'dib, by way of discipline, not by way of qisas. Retributive action or punishment, and nor was it by way of revenge. And also, he disliked medicine or this type of treatment because this type of medicine was not for is for other types of pain, not the one that he's experiencing. And they thought that this medicine will help in relieving the pain that he was experiencing. And this is what is apparent in the context of the narration. At the end of the quote. Also, Imam An-Nawawi, he says in Sharh Muslim, that he ordered that they also take medicine from the side of their mouth as a form of discipline for them because of them opposing him and his waving to them, signaling to them that they should not give him medicine from the side of the mouth. And we also benefit from this hadith that the ishara, the indication, the signaling that is understood, it can also take the place or is in place of clear expression in this mas'ala. Means when somebody gives a signal that has understood, then it also takes the position as if one gave a clear expressive expression by way of words in regards to this issue. Also, we benefit from the hadith that the one who transgresses, he should be given a ta'zir, a type of discipline, in accordance to the action that he has committed, as long as that action is not prohibited in and of itself. End of quote. Also, Al-Qurtubi mentions that in Mufhim, volume 5, page number 601 and 602, and the reason for this, right, is because they opposed him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, based on what they knew from the condition of the one who's sick and how the one who's sick dislikes medicine. So from this hadith, there's a fiqh benefit, which is that the benefit of preventing, forcing a sick person to take food, drink, or medicine. So the benefit that it should be prevented from forcing a sick one to eat or to drink or to take medicine. The ninth chapter. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sought the permission to have his final illness in the house of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Imam Bukhari, he narrates in his Sahih hadith number 1389, حدثنا إسماعيل حدثني سليمان عن هشام وحدثني محمد بن حرب حدثنا أبو مروان يحيى بن أبي زكريا عن هشام عن عروة عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت إن كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليتعذر في مرضه أين أنا اليوم أين أنا غدا استبطأ ليوم عائشة فلما كان يومي قبضه الله بين سحري ونحري ودفن في بيتي. And this hadith has also been reported by Imam al-Muslim, hadith number 2443. Imam Bukhari, he narrates saying that Ismail narrated to us, that was narrated to us from Hisham, Sulaiman bin Hisham, and likewise another narration from Muhammad bin Harb, who said it was narrated to us from Abu Marwan, Yahya bin Abi Zakariya, from Hisham, from Urwa, from Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, who said that during the sickness of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was asking repeatedly, where am I today? Where will I be tomorrow? And I was waiting for the day of my turn impatiently. Then, when my turn came, Allah took his soul away in my lap between my chest and arms, and he was buried in my house. Also, Imam al-Bukhari, he narrates in his Sahih, hadith number 4442, حدثنا سعيد بن عفير قال حدثني الليث قال حدثني عقيل عن ابن الشهاب قال أخبرني عبيد الله بن عبد الله بن عتبة بن مسعود أن عائشة زوج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قالت لما ثقل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم واشتد به وجعه استأذن أزواجه أن يمرض في بيتي فأذن لي فأذن له فخرج وهو بين الرجلين تخط رجلاه في الأرض بين عباس بن عبد المطلب وبين رجل آخر قال عبيد الله فأخبرت عبد الله بالذي قالت عائشة فقال لي عبد الله بن عباس هل تدري من الرجل الآخر الذي لم تسمي عائشة قال قلت لا قال لي ابن عباس وعلي بن أبي طالب وكانت عائشة زوج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تحدث أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لما دخل بيتي واشتد به وجعه قال هريق علي من سبع قرب لم تحلل أوكيتهن لعلي أعهد إلى الناس فأجلسناه في مخضب لحفصة زوج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم طفقنا نصب عليه من تلك القرب حتى طفق يشير إلينا بيده أن قد فعلتن قالت ثم خرج إلى الناس فسل بهم وخطبهم. Yeah, Bukhari, he narrates in his Sahih saying it was reported to us from Sa'id bin Ufair, who said it was reported to me from Layth, who said it was reported to me by Uqayr from Ibn Shihab, who said it was reported to me from by Ubaidullah bin Abdullah bin Utbah bin Abi Mas'ud, who said that Aisha, the wife of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said when the ailment of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became aggravated, he requested his wives to permit him to be treated and nursed in my house, and they gave him permission. He came out to my house walking between two men with his feet dragging on the ground, walking between Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib and another man. Ubaidullah said, I told Abdullah about what Aisha mentioned. Abdullah bin Abbas said to me, do you know who this other man whom Aisha did not name? I said, no. Ibn Abbas said it was Ali bin Abi Talib. Aisha, the wife of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to narrate saying, when Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered my house and his disease became aggravated, or his sickness became aggravated, he said, pour on me the water of seven water skins, the mouths of which have not been untied, so that I may give advice to the people. So we let him sit in that big basin belonged to Hafsa, the wife of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then started to pour water on him from these water skins till he started pointing to us with his hands, intending to say, "You have done your job." Aisha added that he went out to the people and led them in prayer and preached to them. Also, Imam Muslim, he narrates in his Sahih, hadith number 418, حَدَّثَنَا مُحَمَّدْ بِنْ رَافِعُ وَعَبْدُ اللَّهِ بِنْ حُمَيْدُ وَاللَّفْدُ لِأَبْنْ رَافِعُ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا عَبْدُ الرَّزَّاقُ أَخْبَرَنَا مَعْمَرْ قَالَ زُهْرِي وَأَخْبَرَنِي عُبَيْدُ اللَّهِ بِعَبْدِ اللَّهِ بِنْ عُتْبَةِ أن عائشة أخبرته قالت أول ما اشتكى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في بيت ميمونة فاستأذن أزواجه أن يمرض في بيتها وأذن له قالت فأخرج ويد له على الفضل ابن عباس ويد له على رجل آخر فخرج ويد له على الفضل ابن عباس ويد له على رجل آخر وهو يخط برجليه في الأرض. Imam Muslim narrates in his Sahih saying that Muhammad bin Rafi' narrated to us saying Abdullah bin Humaid, but this wording belongs to Ibn Rafi' who said Abdul Razak reported to us from Ma'mar from Zuhri who said it was reported to me from Ubaidullah bin Abdullah bin Utbah who said Aisha radiallahu anha narrated saying when the Messenger sallallahu alaihi the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam first fell ill in the house of Maymunah, and he asked permission from his wife to stay in her Aisha's house during his illness. They granted him permission. She, Aisha, narrated, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went out for prayer with his hand over Al-Fadl bin Abbas and the other hand over another person, and due to his weakness, his feet dragged on the earth. Now, Shaykh Al-Iryani, may Allah preserve, mentions from the fawaid wa durus wa al-ibar of this hadith, the benefits, morals, and lessons. The first one, that a man, if he has multiple wives, he can seek permission to remain in the house of one of them during his sickness, and that is due to what is considered best and the most suitable in that situation. So that's the first benefit. The second benefit, we learn the great excellence of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and her virtue and how the intense love the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for her. We also learn the good treatment of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam towards his wives. Also the fourth benefit, that the severity of the pain the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam experienced during his fatal death illness. And the fifth, that i.e. taking medicine and treatment is from taking the permissible means. And it does not prohibit or does not deny having tawakkul, trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The 10th chapter, the last of what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited in the congregational prayer. Imam Bukhari narrates in his Sahih hadith number 4429, حدثنا يحيى بن بكير حدثنا الليث عن عقيل بن هشام عن عبيد الله بن عبد الله عن عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهما عن فضل بنت الحارث قالت سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقرأ في المغرب بالمرسلات عرفا ثم ما سلمنا بعدها حتى قبضه الله. And also this hadith is reported by Muslim, hadith number 462. Imam Muslim, Imam Bukhari, he narrates in his Sahih, mentioning that it was reported to us from Yahya bin Bukair, who said it was reported to us from Layth, from Uqayr bin Shihab, from Ubaidullah bin Abdullah, from Abdullah bin Abbas, who said, Fadl bin Harith, bint al-Harith, said, I heard the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam reciting "Wal Mursalati Urfa" in the Maghrib prayer, and then he sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not lead us in prayer after that until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took his soul.